We're supposed to have the last slot before Pesach. So I'd like to share a thought on Pesach. Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, what's called Manishtan, it says, Ulefidaito shel ben aviv melamdo. That after the son asked the Manishtan, the father should answer according to the son. So I'd like to do that today, and I'd like to approach what it means. Like, to be daito shel ben, it doesn't just mean how smart is he and how many, you know, how many things can he handle, but it also means, you know, what's he thinking, where's he coming from. So I'd like to take a shot at trying to understand where the majority of the people in the room here are bachrim, you know, where we're, how we're approaching Pesach, and some of the challenges that come along with it. I think at the stage of life that you're at, it's an interesting stage. You know, talk about Pesach, v'gadita levincha b'yom ahu, it's very exciting, you know, that's very nice if you have three little kids, or if you're 10 years old, or maybe you're 14 years old, so then you're either the son, or you're the father. When you get to the age that you guys are at, you're like, you know, you're somewhere in the middle, yeah, of course your father's still there, you're less than minus time to your father, I have a not so fond memory of being the youngest in the family, and I was 20 or 21, and got to the Manishtan, and it got all quiet, and okay, I did it, you know, there's the Manishtan, you know, it's like, what is our avoda in this context? So first of all, I was probably a little immature, and the real thing is that, of course, there's so much to gain. You know, get yourself a Haggadah, get yourself ready. I don't think there's any sefer that's been printed more, or more topics, or more different ways or fashions or varieties than the Haggadah. There has to be something out there for you. So that's number one. But number two, I think that this is a little bit short-sighted to feel like, well, you know, I'm like a tweener. I'm like in between. Where do I stand? And I think I would say it like this. I would say, you're a matzah. You are a matzah. Okay. Nobody got insulted. Okay. Wasn't sure.
Soft.
What, back?
Soft or crunchy?
Soft or crunchy, okay. You know, you lost a little weight. You know, I'm not sure exactly what it implied when I said you're a matzah, but I want to tell you what I mean when I say you're a matzah. Much has been written about matzah and what its nature is. Is matzah for cheirus? Is it for avdus? Lechem oni? All of the famous ideas and concepts that we've discussed. Clearly there's an aspect of geula. After all, we have to do it behesevo, which means that it's derecherus. But what exactly is this matzah? And again, and then we're going to apply it to ourselves. One other question that I would like to deal with in matzah, also a very famous question, is if matzah is, as we are all used to thinking, they didn't have time to get out, then it's a little bit curious that the night before they left Mitzrayim, Hashem told them that they should have matzah. That's a question that bothered me since I was back when I was saying that Manishtan. You know, that's an old question, that's a very bothersome question. If that's what the matzah is for, so why are we doing it the night before? I think the Ramban even says it's Hashem Ha'asid, which Baruch Hu knew was going to happen, so he commanded us because we're going to be doing it in later years. So I'd like to share with you today a maral. And the maral tells us what matzah is. And it's in a Gemara, but it's not in the Gemara in Pesachim. It's a Gemara in Shabbos in a different context. And the Gemara is actually defining what matzah means. And I don't think I could ask every single person in this room, I don't think anybody would translate the word matzah the way the Gemara and the Rashi in Shabbos translate the word matzah. So here's the Gemara. So Shabbos, Daf Ayin Tes, it's not talking about food. It's talking about leather skins, leather hides. The Gemara says, Shlosha oros hein. Quoted Amar Rav Chiya bar Ami, Mashmei de'ula. Shlosha oros hein. There are three types of hides and skins, you know, cloth that we write on. Here they are. Matzah, v'chifa, v'diftera. The Gemara continues and explains, what are these three things, matzah, b'chifa, v'diftara? It says matzah, kimashmo, like it sounds. You know what matzah is. So we're all thinking of this matzah. That's not what you think. It's a piece of leather. So what makes it kimashmo? Rashi, matzah kimashmo, she'ein lo shum tikun. It doesn't have any... It wasn't fixed. It wasn't prepared at all. It's raw. That's basically, it's unfinished. Ein lo shum tikun. Now you might be upset with me that I called you a matzah. Yeah, ein lo shum tikun. It doesn't have any, you know, refinement to it. And it explains that there were things that they did to process the hides. That they put on gall juice and things like that. So it goes through. Matzah is, has nothing on it. Chifa is that it's salted, but it's not this. It doesn't have flour on it. And then diftara is even further than that. So there's three different levels. So matzah means really like unprocessed. And the Maral says that that's what matzah means. And when we say the words lechem oni, yeah, lechem oni has nothing to do with, he's very stark about this, even though the Ramban says it. He says very stark that it does not mean a poor man's bread. It's not referring to that. He says it refers not to the one who's eating the bread, a poor man's bread, but it's referring to the bread itself. He says when we call it lechem oni, when the pasuk says lechem oni, it means la'afuke matzah ashira. Matzah ashira means it's rich, it means it's enriched. In English we use the same word. Enriched means it has something else added to it. So lechem oni is that, oh, that's what matzah is. It has nothing else in it, it's just flour and water. Huh. Okay, good. So now we figured out what matzah is. But what does that have to do, and why does that make matzah such a big deal? No, we get rid of all of our chametz, matzah, everything's matzah. What? Why is matzah so significant? So then he says something that's really profound. And he says, because matzah represents geula. It represents freedom, as we would have thought. After all, we do haseba. It represents freedom. It's the absolute form of freedom. And he says something as follows. He says, freedom means unencumbered. Freedom means there's nothing else that's holding you down. There's nothing that's preventing you. He says everything that we have is in some fashion a shibud. Whatever you add on, it's a shibud. It's a Hashem Yizorki, you have a wife, there are shibudim involved. You have kids, there are shibudim involved. You get rich, there are shibudim involved. There are things I need to do. I need to take care of my wife. I need to take care of my children. I need to take care of my money. I need to take care of those things. Absolute freedom is that there's nothing there. And so he says matzah, the bread itself, not what happened with the bread, but the bread itself represents the bread of freedom. The night before was also appropriate to eat matzah. Why? We're going free. How do you get ready to go free? So many people will say you pack. Well, maybe. But many people will say you unpack. You get rid of things. Get rid of everything and be totally available to go free. Now, if that's the definition of matzah, and that's the definition of freedom, then I think that the people at your stage of life are in a very interesting place. Because all of us, even the old ones of us here, will go through the Seder and will be inspired by the Nisan that happened and the Hakaras HaTov we have towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the gratitude that we have towards being a member of Klal Yisrael and having been saved from Mitzrayim. But for many of us, that charge will last until the first kid wakes up and says this, you know, or has a stomach ache or has to get carried to bed and has to, until something quickly happens that you're going to be. But you guys are, in this definition, you're free. You're free. I would say it like this. You have a much greater chance of coming back from Pesach fundamentally changed, inspired by the words of the Haggadah, by the lessons that we learn, by the things that we see, and say, you know what? I want to change how I do things. You know, if I want to change how I do things, I need to get permission from my wife. I need to speak to my kids' schedules. I have to find out what's going on. If you guys want to change something, you change something. you know what? I do want to learn another year before I go out to work. Yeah, why not? Who's stopping me? I told my wife I'm taking off 10 days. What? You're taking off 10 days. You can take a year. Nobody's going to notice. Yeah? You're a matzah. You're a matzah. It's freedom. It's a freedom that we experience. This is the simplicity of what matzah is meant to be, something that we should all appreciate, utilize, and have a chai kosher b'sameach.